Hi, welcome back. This is our last module of the day, so thank you very much for hanging in with us so far. At the end of the module today, we're going to ask you to fill out a quick poll. Just be ready for that. Just a questionnaire or poll to get some information, some feedback about the sessions and everything. So anyway, thanks for being here. Thanks for sticking in. So for this session, we're going to talk about some of the options for continuous integration and DevOps on Azure, for Java specifically. All the things that are either written in Java or are really good for working with Java tools. On top of this, actually, I mean, we're going to talk about Jenkins and Hudson. We also, you know, at Azure, we have Chef, we have Puppet, we have Docker, we have a few of the cooler tools that you're familiar with these days. They're all in the news about DevOps. But we're not actually going to cover those specific ones today because those are more language agnostic. We're going to focus on the Java tools that you could use for this. And specifically, we're going to talk about Jenkins. We've got a couple of plugins that we've actually created for Jenkins, and also Hudson. We've got a couple of plugins for that as well. And I'm going to just give you a quick intro to Nagios, Zabbix, and Zookeeper as well, and how you can use those working with Azure. We have pre-made images of those, or we have documentation and tutorials on how to actually work with Azure services and Azure applications with those tools. So without further ado, we'll get into Jenkins. So we've got a couple of plugins, as I mentioned, for Jenkins. Specifically, we've got one plugin that allows you to either grab artifacts from Azure Storage or publish artifacts to Azure Storage in your Jenkins continuous integration process. We also have a slave plugin for Azure, and the Azure Slave plugin, what that does, it's a Jenkins facility that the Jenkins actually put together, and you've got a master Jenkins instance, which actually generates slave instances, and it's just a way of being able to configure and run Jenkins build tasks and Jenkins projects on Azure devices. So the Jenkins slave and master configuration is a general Jenkins thing. And what we've done is we added a plugin that allows you to actually run these Jenkins slaves on Azure.
Yeah, so that's a typical scenario for that kind of plugin is if you, as part of your regular build and test process, you have a whole bunch of automation tests that you want to run. They require specific setups, environments, and whatnot. So you could provision a number of virtual machines in Azure and run those tests as part of your Jenkins build. So those would be the slave nodes managed by or orchestrated by the Jenkins master. That's the coolest scenario for that piece of functionality.
Absolutely, and I'll show some of the features of that as we get into the demo. Here's the demo itself. So what I'll show you here, let me just go into my browser. So what I've got here, let's start with, so this is Jenkins. Jenkins is actually the tool that you can download from jenkins-ci.org. For those of you who might not be familiar with it, most of the Java world is actually more familiar with it than the Microsoft world is, that's for sure. And what we've done, in order to set up Jenkins, there's two ways you can do it. First of all, vmdepot.msopentech.com is the site I mentioned earlier today in our first module, in case you weren't there. So vmdepot is a way to manage their pre-configured Linux VMs, Linux only. And it allows you to actually download open source Linux images onto virtual machines on Azure. And these virtual machines are already pre-configured. In the case of Jenkins, we've got Jenkins, we've got the JDK, we've got the environment variables set up. So all you need to do once you've got, oh, and it's running on Ubuntu. So it takes Ubuntu, Jenkins, and a JDK, And all you have to do is load this into Azure Virtual Machine. When it's up and running, you type Jenkins start, and you've got a Jenkins server running. Of course, then you have to add all your build projects and things, but it's definitely a good head start. So what I've done here is I've done a little search on Jenkins, and you can see here we have several versions of Jenkins running, and there's some other things that actually contain Jenkins server or mention Jenkins in the search results as well. So we've got actually quite a few search results there. But if I wanted to create one of these Jenkins images here, I just click here, deployment script, I choose a region that I want to deploy it in, let's say West US, because I'm in the West US, and I take this script, I can actually use this script with adding a few things into it and publish this out on Azure. Now, if you didn't want to get to know, I mentioned before, we have a CLI that this is based on. You download the CLI, it's node-based, runs on Windows, Mac, and Linux. But if you don't want to use this script and you don't want to use the CLI necessarily, there is another way to get these images as well that I haven't mentioned yet. Chris, in the last session, showed a little bit about the new portal that we have. So we have the old Azure portal that I showed earlier, and Chris showed the new portal. So I'm going to go into the new portal right now. And if I go to Marketplace, and I just type Jenkins. So there we go. So we got a couple of different versions of Jenkins here. I can click here. And if I want to create this, I just click the Create button. And now I have no scripts. What it's going to do is it's going to use my subscription, which I've already logged into this machine with. And it's going to create a new virtual machine in my subscription automatically. All I have to do is tell it. And it's taking a second to load. There we go. I just have to tell it the host name, the username that I want to put in there for that particular server. I put in the password. When I click create, what it's going to do is it's actually going to create Jenkins on a Ubuntu Linux virtual machine inside Azure. Once that's fired up, I can actually just click on the icon here. I have one already created that I'll show you in a second, but I can just click on the icon, and what that's going to do is prompt me. It's going to be it'll bring up the Jenkins server if it's running. Otherwise, what I have to do is use some tool like PuTTY to go in and get into the server using my username and password, type Jenkins start to fire up the server itself. So pretty straightforward, takes minutes to set up. Now what I've done actually is I've created one. Actually, it takes about 10 or 15 minutes to set up. So I'm not going to show you it today because I've already created one here. Now, this is the Jenkins server. It's basically running on a cloud service, cloudapp.net. And what this does, a couple of things I want to show you here. I've already installed the two plugins that I mentioned earlier, the Azure Storage plugin and the Azure Slave plugin. And I know I've installed them because if I go to Manage Jenkins and I go to Configure System, I'll see down here, if I scroll down all the way to the bottom, two things. So here is a facility to my Microsoft Azure Storage account. For those of you who are here for Module 2, you get the storage account name and storage account key from your storage account. So if I go back over to my, I'll use the old portal for this. So if I go into storage here, this is the Azure chat for Java storage that I set up earlier. And what I can do is if I go click here on manage access keys, I won't do it right now because it's going to show the key for my storage account. But if I click on manage access keys, I get the information that I need. Whoops. Keep trying to tab over and it's not, it's here. And I add the storage account name and storage account key. Now, why would I do this? Because when I go back into Jenkins and I add a new item, like a project, MVA, let's call it MVA. I'm just gonna create a freestyle project because it's nice and quick. Now, when I do that, MVA, if I go down here, I can add a build step, and the build step can be, this is automatically added when we build the plugin, when we add the plugin in, download from Azure Blob Storage. So as part of your continuous integration in this build project, you could have something that actually, as part of your build step, grabs some artifacts, some codes, some JDKs, some apps from blob storage that you already have on Azure and integrates them into your build process. Then in the post-build action, you can actually upload artifacts to Microsoft Azure Blob Storage. So as part of your, as the end result of your build process, you could actually have whatever you're building being published out to Blob Storage as well. And the reason why you want to do this is you create a project, you actually create the code, the artifacts, and you want to share it with 100 people. You could actually, you know, privately create that in your storage account, load it up to Azure Storage as part of your blob process, and then you can actually distribute the code from there. So that's the Azure Storage plugin in a nutshell. Now, the other thing I mentioned was the Azure Slave plugin. If I go back to the dashboard here, leave the page, and I say Manage Jenkins, Configure System, down underneath where I would put the storage account information, there's a new button down here, and this is part of the Azure Slave plugin that we created. We're going to add a new cloud. We're going to call it Microsoft Azure. I'm going to put my subscription ID in here. Management Service Certificate, which you get from your Azure service, subscription information. And then you've got a Max Virtual Machines Limit. What's that for? So the Azure Slave plugin, as I mentioned, what that does is it actually clones slave instances of Jenkins, and you can pass different parts of your build job as part of your build project to different virtual machines. So you can spread out a build across 10, up to 10 virtual machines here. In this case, that's the default. It could be 50, but the default here is max virtual machine limit. It just says how many virtual machines do you want to use. Now, how do you actually set up each one of those virtual machines? There is a general configuration here that you would create for each virtual machine. The name, description, labels, region. So region, as you might recall, is all of the locations. It doesn't pop up here right now because I don't have my subscription information in here. The virtual machine size that you want, once again, that would come from the cloud storage project that you've got. Storage account name, once again, so you add a storage account that you're going to be working with for this build process. The retention time in minutes, that's how many minutes that this will actually be, this particular slave will still run after it's done with the build process in case it needs to be run again. And the reason for that is you might not want to just shut down a virtual machine slave that you've created because there might be another process that comes right after that and you have to start it up again. So it just saves a little bit of resources. And then this is another resource saving feature here, shut down only after retention time. So after you're actually done with the retention time, don't delete this instance, shut it down, and then restart it again when you need it again. And then usage. So how much do you want to use this node? Do you want to use it as much as possible? Only build jobs with label restrictions matching this node. So you can build in some control over which slaves get used for that. Then there's a image configuration, a launch method, and an init script, and a username and password for this particular slave module as well. So these are all configuration options. We've got them documented with the, if you look on GitHub, so we've got the storage, Azure Storage plugin there, and we've also got the Azure Slave plugin here, and these can be used. And they're documented here on how you actually create the plugin, configure it, how you create the virtual machines, the slave templates, the slave template configuration. Here's an example for Ubuntu, et cetera, et cetera. So these are all built into the GitHub project. And if you just search GitHub Azure Slave plugin, you'll find this. And for the storage plugin, similar, so GitHub Azure Storage plugin, and it's got full documentation on how you would actually use it here. We've also got a couple of blog posts that'll turn up when you do that search. And Martin's actually going to show us a little bit more detail on a build process in action using the Ant script that we actually generated earlier.
Okay, should we jump into that? Great. Sure. So. If you remember, at the beginning, in the morning session today, I showed you how quick and simple it was to go from an Eclipse project, an Azure deployment project in Eclipse, to Jenkins and just automate that whole process of building and publishing. So now I didn't explain how I actually got it to work, so that's what I wanted to go into right now. So switching back to my Eclipse environment, just to remind everybody what's been going on here. So we have this My Hello World on Azure project, which is an Azure deployment project. So it's a project, it's a folder, it's in a workspace, it's on my desktop. There's a location associated with all this content. So one of the things that happened as part of the publish process, as just a reminder, was that the plugin generated a couple of scripts for Windows and for Linux or Mac, and these were just really simple. Command line scripts. Track doesn't work that way. I should learn better. Let me just cancel, get out of this before I destroy something. That's how drag works. Okay. So it's really the idea here is that you want to run Ant under the hood. So it should be quite trivial to automate that through Jenkins. So if we go to Jenkins, so I already have Jenkins running just on my own desktop machine here. And let's just go back into where we started with. So I already had a project or build process, build task configured for Jenkins. So let me show you how I actually configured this task so that you can see just how easy it was for me to link this task, this build process, to what I did in Eclipse. So if we now open this up, I'm just going to go into the configuration of this project now. Well, first of all, when I started this build task, it was I started out with a freestyle deployment, a freestyle project, basically. And the things that were specific to this particular scenario that I needed to set were as follows. First, in the advanced project options, I wanted to use a custom workspace. And guess what? This is exactly my Eclipse workspace. So I simply, for convenience sake, I simply pointed the workspace of this Jenkins project at the same directory as the Eclipse workspace that had my Eclipse deployment project. So that's one step. Another step is that I added a build step that simply invoked Ant. So I configured Ant earlier somewhere else in Jenkins. And then I just said that the target for this build task is publish. And as you remember from the command line, publish is the target that we generate in the package.xml file, which is an Ant build file. So that's really the action that we want to take on that file, just publish it. And then in the advanced section of the Ant configuration, well, that's where we point at that package.xml file from my Azure deployment project. So that's literally what that is. It's just a directory. I'm just pointing at a file within that Eclipse project. And then there is also an opportunity for me to change some of the properties, overwrite the properties that are already set in package.xml. So just for demo purposes, what we're doing here is overwriting the deployment slot property. So as you remember, in my original Eclipse project, deployment slot was set to staging. So I was deploying into a staging slot on Azure, and that gave me that obfuscated URL for staging purposes. So here, just to keep it sort of isolated from my Eclipse publishing demos, I changed staging to production. So whenever I deploy from Jenkins, this deployment is going to go into the production time deployment slot as opposed to staging. But again, it's the same project, same application, everything is the same. And Eclipse, it might as well not be running. I don't care about Eclipse at this point. This is all purely command line automation, Jenkins logic, basically here. So, and that's basically it. That's all there was to it. So all I had to do is just build now, and that starts the project. And that, like I showed you before, it gives you the console output. You can see exactly the same console output as you would if you were doing this from Eclipse. And because it's going through the same Ant logic, the same Ant task, all that logic underneath is the same as in Eclipse. Now, let me also show you a little bit more about that magical package.xml file that we keep referring to. So just a quick look at what's inside of it exactly, because there is actually quite a bit of interesting information in it. Basically, everything that's relevant here is included in package.xml. So at the top level, you will see there's a number of properties set that contain my subscription and publishing information. So this is where, if you remember that publishing wizard that I showed you in Eclipse when we were publishing our deployment to the cloud, we answered a number of questions to that wizard. We said, you know, here's a subscription that we want to use, here's a cloud service name, and some other things. So that's where that information went. That information got stored in this package.xml file. So now it's available directly to our ANT extension. So you can imagine taking this outside of Eclipse completely and just manually tweaking this as you need to. Another section of this file that's also very important, let's go down to, this is just you also start noticing things. Once you start looking at this file, you'll start mapping what's in this file and what you saw in the UI. Because really, the UI is just a way to edit package.xml and the CSDEF files. That's basically all there is to it. And also, we're generating our startup script behind the scenes. That's another file that we're generating. So the UI is just the front end on top of these files. So what that means is that the package.xml file, you could easily take that out of Eclipse and just manually or through some other process edit that and use it for your own purposes. So if you scroll down to all the way down to this element called, and there's some documentation embedded in it. The ANT task is not, our ANT extension is not yet documented in a way that's any more fancy than what you're seeing here. Is basically it's embedded in the. In the XML file itself. So it's,
and we don't necessarily encourage people to build or edit their own ANT scripts for this. It's something that is pretty complex.
But in this case, if you know what you're doing, I think this is where in automation scenarios, at least you will know what to do here, especially on the published process, where if you want to move this package outside of Eclipse, then you do want to pointed at like the directory of your Azure SDK because it requires the Azure SDK for Java. You want to point it at your package.xml. So there is some redirection or you know adjustments to your package.xml once you take it outside of Eclipse and you want to use it in some other environment. And really the prerequisites for getting it to run is having ANT, having the Azure SDK for Java, and then having our toolkit ANT extension, which is basically a jar file you can get, you can extract out of the toolkit itself. So this is actually the Windows Azure Package.x element is the one that contains the build logic. So what you see inside of the Windows Azure Package element here is not, it has nothing to do with publishing. It has all to do with how do you define this deployment? So there are some elements that we've defined which literally describe how to deploy your Tomcat or JD server or JBoss, how to deploy your JDK, et cetera, et cetera. So as you parse through this, you will, again, once you're familiar with the UI, there will be a mapping in your head that you will see, oh yeah, this maps to that thing I saw in the UI. And you will also see how that component logic that I briefly mentioned earlier, how that manifests itself in this package.xml file, because that's actually, it's all expressed in terms of these little component elements. So, and all in all, it's a pretty short file. I mean, once you get out of the role definitions, this is basically it. So there's not that much complexity in this thing. So now you can see how we can connect all these pieces together. So Eclipse or IntelliJ UI, that's just a way to sort of, in a user-friendly way, create your ANT build task, or build file, your CSDEF, your startup scripts, But that's at the heart of it all. The ANT task has all the logic of building and publishing these things to Azure. So all of that is separately reusable outside of the Eclipse context, inside of Jenkins or Hudson or whatever other command line based or otherwise other tooling that you want to plug it into. That's basically it.
Yep. Thanks. And the other thing I want to mention, we do have Hudson plugins for Hudson Slave plugins. And Hudson storage plugins as well. They function almost the same as the Jenkins plugins, so there's not much point in showing those as well, but they're pretty much the same. They're downloadable from GitHub as well, and there's instructions on configuration and everything in there. And there's a couple of blog posts out there on the configuration of both of those too. So, as I mentioned, Hudson, we have basically the same plugins for that. so they can be available. A little bit more I want to talk about Nagios, Zabbix, and Zookeeper as well. So Nagios, Zabbix are DevOps monitoring tools. They're Java-based, they're written in Java. They just check things like networking, responsiveness, usage. They track these things, they keep the information in storage. And Nagios itself is on VM Depot. I'll show that in a minute. Zabbix is easy to install on any virtual machine or any other service you want to. You literally just unpack the zip and it's running. So Nagios and Zabbix, let me just show those real quick. So once again, if we go in here, just like we did with Jenkins, and we go to Nagios, there is a Nagios image, and just talks about the image itself. Once again, if you want to create it, it's the exact same thing. I believe it's running on Ubuntu. Let's check. I'm not sure why I keep scrolling over like that. Yeah, I think it's on Ubuntu, this one. So you just put in a host name that you want, the username that you're going to use when you log in via PuTTY or similar tool, and the password that you're going to use. There's also optional configuration for networks, diagnostics, things like that. Other than that, let's see. So Zookeeper itself as well. Zookeeper is not in here either, but Zookeeper, I'll talk about that real quick. Zookeeper is actually a DevOps tool, and it synchronizes node activity. So I put together a tutorial. It's a couple of years old now, but if you follow that link, you can see how to use Apache Zookeeper on Azure. So what I did with this particular product, just to give you an idea of what you can do with Zookeeper, we run Zookeeper and we run Solr. Solr, both Java-based tools. Solr is a search tool that you use. It's written in Java. And it has a indexer called Nutch. And what happens is Nutch runs, it spiders whatever you want it to spider. It could be files on a file system. It could be data in a data store. And it indexes that data. And then it takes the index and it loads that up into Solr, and Solr searches on those indexes. Now, if you have multiple nodes that are creating indexes using Nutch, then you want to load them up to Solr, and you don't want one instance of that index to be loaded up before all the other indexes are done. So Nutch runs on three different machines, and it indexes all those machines, and then when they're all three done, then you want to load those indexes up into Solr, so you get a complete search result on all those machines. How do you control that? You control that through Zookeeper. So Zookeeper will basically keep those jobs in sync, and it will only allow you to upload the indexes from Nutch into Solr when all three of the indexes are done. So that's just an example that I've got there, and you can look at the tutorial, and there's a download there as well. And that's it. I did mention that this module would be quick. And less than the hour for sure, and it was. So the Jenkins slave plugin we covered, the Azure Storage plugin, Hudson slave, Azure Storage for Hudson, and I showed a little bit about how you would actually use those plugins in Jenkins. Martin showed the Ant script as part of a build project, and I told you a little bit about Nagios, Zabbix, and Zookeeper. And that brings this session, this MVA course to an end. Please don't forget to check out the poll. Fill in the poll to make sure that we get some good feedback for next time. And I hope you appreciated this. Thank you all for being here. Thanks for hanging in so long. And obviously, if you have any more questions, you can reach me, bbenz@microsoft.com, or bbenz on the Twitter machine, as I mentioned before, as well. And thanks for coming.
Yeah. All right, thank you very much.